We have from my alma mater. My wife and I graduated from Southern Bible in 1998, and we were really, really blessed to be able to find that school. And now I get to see Brother Brian Nelson. Now, y'all got to understand, he says he's the second. And people get upset when you don't put that second behind their name and they're a second. He said it's not junior, it's second. Amen? So at this time, y'all welcome, please, from Southern Bible Institute, Brother Brian Nelson the second. Preach the word, preacher. God bless you. Preach the word.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here tonight. Let's give you all another hand of applause. All our speakers tonight. Praise the Lord. It's such an honor to be here on the fifth annual of your conference, allowing us to have an opportunity to preach God's word, because many of us have been itching for years. So I thank you all, Pastor Milbury and your congregation. If you have your Bibles, which I know you do, I ask that you turn to Psalm chapter 28. Psalm chapter 28. Give you a second. When you have it, say amen. All right. It reads like this. I'm reading from the ESV version, beginning of verse 1. It says, "To you, O Lord, I call. My rock, be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit." Verse 2, "Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. Give to them according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward, because they do not regard the works of the Lord. Or the works of his hands, he will tear them down and build them up no more." On September 28th of last year, Channel 8 News reported a disturbing trend, that more and more people were calling in to the Dallas PD, but they weren't getting a prompt response. Major disturbances such as murders or shootings are supposed to average around 8 minutes. They were averaging 10 minutes. Priority 2 calls such as domestic abuse, they're supposed to average around 12. They were averaging 30 minutes. One Channel 8 caller called in, and they said that they were placed on hold because they had 13 callers ahead of them. What do you do in the eyes of growing fears? Things going on in your life that you don't know how to handle. Your child is sick. You don't know what to do. You have a loved one dying. Financially, you don't know what to do. You have people on your job that is after you. What do you do? Who do you call on when the line seems like there's nobody on the other end answering? You should call on the Lord, because he does not drop your call. He does not take all day. Now, he might take all day in earth terms, but in eternity, God already has it figured out. As we look at King David, David had so many different instances. David had so many struggles. David is the perfect person that we see as believers whenever we're struggling, having difficulties. Who do you call on in your time of need? You call on the Lord, because he won't drop your call. As we look in Psalm chapter 8, 28, it says, "To you, O Lord." But see, it's amazing, because there are various ways that the Lord is called on within the Old Testament. Because look, it's in all caps. He's saying Jehovah. He's talking to his covenant God. He's saying, "Lord, to you I call." Now, as we'll notice, that this is the first time that Moses called on him in Exodus 3, verse 14, his covenant name, Jehovah, which is the relational God. He's the God that he remembers his people. Whenever you call on him, he remembers that what he said. See, God cannot forsake us, his people, because we represent his name, and his name is great. So as we look, it says, to you, O Lord, I call. He calls him my rock. Be not deaf to me. See, when we're in a tight situation, we can't forget who to call on. See, David had so many different things going on within his life, but he didn't forget. See, he recognized first who to call. But when we get in problems, who do we call first? Many of us, we might call our fathers, our parents. We might call our best friends. But why is the Lord always the last one we call on? We wonder why there are so long responses, why things aren't working out the way that we desire. But why don't we call on him? Because the Lord is the one that does not drop our call. As we look at him, he continues to say, Lord, you are my rock. Be not deaf to me. He starts off in lament because he's like, Lord, I need you. Lord, there are enemies that are surrounding me. There are things that I can't handle on my own. But Lord, I look to you. How many of us look to the Lord in our time of need, in our time of struggle? Many of us as believers, we do a great job of being a chameleon. We pretend as if nothing is wrong within our personal lives when all hell is breaking loose. But here, David, all hell is breaking loose, and he's sitting there saying, Lord, I call on you. I'm the king of Jerusalem. I'm the king of Israel. And Lord, I can't do this on my own. He's calling on him. He's saying, Lord, if you be silent to me, I'll be like those who go down to the pit. If you are silent, I'll be dead. I'll be gone. Now, notice this. We have many strong men, many strong women in here. David was a fighter. David wasn't just anybody. He was the king. He killed Goliath. But he had the humility to know who to call on in his time of need. No matter our struggle, many of us might have been in church all our life, have great theological training. But you can't remember the true 911 number to call. Because our Lord does not drop your call. So he calls on him. He says, Lord, if you don't call, if you don't answer me, you are my rock. He says what he is. First off, he identifies who to call. He identifies that he's the rock. He identifies that he's Jehovah. And he continues to call because if you don't answer, I'm going down to the pit. I'm going to die because they are surrounding me, Lord. And so he says, Lord, in verse 2, hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help. When I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary, I don't know if there's anybody that's ever come and you're like, Lord, I'm calling on you, Lord. And it feels like this whole world is caving in. I can tell y'all personally, recently, my wife and I have been blessed to conceive twins. Doctors have said things contrary for years, but then God blessed us to have twins. But there were years we'd be crying out. Lord, do you hear me? I mean, I don't know if there's a man when you see your wife hurting for years and then God just out of nowhere decide this is the time. Continue to call him. We're still in it praying, Lord, because we get different reports. This is going on. That's going on. But during this time, I still identify, Lord, you are my rock. You are my shield. You are my salvation, Lord. And so he continues to cry out to him when I lift my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. So we got to be able to identify that the Lord, he has to be our number one source. Many of us have different carriers when it comes to our cell phones. Some have Sprint, AT&T, Verizon. We have various ones. But according to Root Metrics, they say that Verizon Wireless is number one in speed, data, reliability, and overall ability. And because of all these things, you can be so far away, and they do great of tracking and picking up your number because they never drop your call because they're number one in all these different areas. Now, if a cell phone company is number one and they don't drop your call, Verizon, how much more our God when we call on him? See, he's number one, but yet sometimes we forget him. We'll get so much in the hustle and bustle of our jobs, so much in theological training, so much we forget, as my brother said, we go through suffering that we forget the one who is going through it with us. The one that who can keep us, as David said, you are my rock. We got to remember who is our rock and our shield and our exceedingly great reward, because not only should we call on him, but we should specifically tell him what's going on. We need to identify and specifically tell him, as he says in verse 3, do not drag me off with the wicked. But look at this. It's emphatically. He's not sitting there, please, Lord. You know, because sometimes whenever we get so strong in the word, we just pray nice, cute prayers. They're so good. They are biblically sound, theologically on point. But sometimes the Lord, he knows just how hurt we are. He knows how much in pain we are. David is surrounded. He's sitting there saying, Lord, do not. Whenever you see do not, you know it's nothing cute about that. He's saying, Lord, do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil. He's being specific on it. We can't just call, because if we were to call 911 or anybody for help, they want to know, what do you need? What's going on? Now, some might say, okay, a sovereign God does not know what's going on. Of course he does, but he still wants to hear from his children. Just as my father, my parents would always know exactly what they knew what was going on with me. But as their child, they want to see me come forth and say what's going on. David right here is saying, do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. We got to remember, David, he came from a family. He had so much going on. His son, Absalom, wanted to kill him. Amnon raped his sister, Tamar, his daughter. He slept with Bathsheba, Uriah, one of his top 30 soldiers. He had so much going on. He had one of his top counselors, Ahithophel. He conspired against him. He went against him. He had all this chaos in his world. And so one thing about David through the Psalms is he remembered he had to call on him, because he knew God does not drop his call. He knew that God wouldn't forget him. Sometimes we get in situations, we feel as if God, Lord, where are you? When we read the book of Job, as we were talking about suffering, so many times Job, he's all the way through, he's sitting there, Lord, where are you? He's with us. And he will answer. And see, he's sitting there saying, do not drag me off with the workers of evil. He's constantly saying, according to an Oxford University study, they studied African elephants as far as they wanted to check different sounds. They noticed African elephants make 1,000 different sounds, 1,000 different calls to one another. So one thing that they did is they did an experiment and they recorded Samburu African elephants. And so they took them, because this is a tribe in Kenya. And what they did is they sounded this alarm, and every time when the elephants would hear it, they would draw back, because they noticed this sound of the Samburu Kenyan tribe, because these Kenyan tribe people, what they were doing is killing elephants and making sport of them. So what they did is the elephants, out of the 1,000 calls, they had one call to be able to alert all the elephants of what's going on. So what they did is these researchers, they flew other African elephants in, and they made these call, and this frantically made these elephants frantic and moving all over the place and run, because they knew they made the call to other elephants, and they knew that they had to go because they knew that particular sound. Us as believers, we've got to know, we've got to make that one specific call when we're in trouble. Lord, I need you. I'm in trouble, Lord. Please help me, Lord. I cannot do this, Lord, financially. I'm in a bind, Lord God. Lord, my marriage is falling apart, Lord. What do I do? We've got to remember to call on the Lord in our time of need, because he won't drop your call. Many people, when I talk to them, they're upset with the Lord based off of their experience maybe with their own personal father. They feel like, I can't trust the father. They might feel like they had a loved one pass away, so it's hard to trust somebody in this particular role. But God, we have to remember, has a design plan. He won't drop the call, and he has a particular plan for everything he's going to do. So we got to remember, we got to be able to identify what's going on. We have to call on the Lord and say, Lord, this is exactly what's going on. Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, those who speak peace with their neighbors. We've got to be able to identify, no matter good or bad, Lord, this is what's going on in my life. But when we do that, we got to know that when we call on the Lord, that he's going to answer us. We got to be able to have the confidence that not only are we just praying little vain prayers, because sometimes when we're in that struggle, how many sometimes when you're praying, you feel as if you just want to give up. You feel like the sky is just iron bars, and as if it's, you're not getting anywhere. Now, sometimes we might feel like that, but look, David continued. He begins as if he's lamenting, as if he's sad. And now he continues in verse 4, give to them according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. And then again, he says, give to them according to the work of their hand, render them their due reward. So he's constantly saying, Lord, this is going on. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I cannot fight this on my own. I cannot do this on my own. But Lord, I'm putting in a call to you, Lord God, because I can't handle it, Lord. Please help me, Lord God. And so here he is. He's constantly saying, according to their work, Lord, pay them back. And so he can't do it. But then as he is lamenting, he becomes to go into confidence. He says, because, verse 5, because they do not regard the works of the Lord, all caps, Jehovah, or the work of his hands. Look what he says. He says, he will tear them down and build them up no more. Now, in the New Testament, we're supposed to bless those. We're supposed to pray for our enemies. But the thing is as we're praying, as we're calling on the Lord, we got to see that God is going to empower us and to understand that he'll keep us in perfect peace. It says he'll keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. We've got to remember that we got to trust in him. And as we call on him, he'll also give us the strength to be able to handle what we're going through. So as he's sitting there saying, he'll tear them down, he'll build them up. Look in verse 6, it says, blessed be the Lord. Do y'all notice in the beginning of the psalm, he's like, Lord, I can't, Lord, I need you. But as he continues to call on the Lord, he begins to get power through the Lord, confidence through the Lord, that he's saying, blessed be Jehovah, exclamation point. For he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. And my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be the shepherd and carry them forever. He begins to get confidence. So we have to call on the Lord because he will give us confidence as we call him. He says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, to let our requests be made known to him. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But notice that, through prayer. He's calling on him. He's going to deliver us through the situation, but empower us. We might go into a situation one way, but be empowered going out of it. Exactly 29 years ago, Larry Bird entered the three-point contest for the third consecutive time. Now, he had already won two NBA three-point contests in a row, but this year he faced stiff competition. Detlef Schrempf, Dale Ellis, Mark Price, some of the best three-point shooters. They thought, hey, we got them. So Larry Bird, as he walks in the room, he's surrounded by all these guys in the locker room. When you're in the NBA, everybody's great. But Larry Bird, most of us were nervous. But Larry, the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, who's taking second? So he says, who's taking second? So as they're getting, as they're shooting threes, Larry Bird is on his final rack. And as he shoots the last one, as it barely reaches, it gets off his finger, he walks away. And the ball goes in the hole, and he didn't even look at it. All net. And he's the champion yet again. See, now if Larry Bird can have confidence in his own ability, how much confidence should we have in an almighty, powerful, omniscient, omnipresent, omnibenevolent, all-loving God who knows all things? We should have confidence when we call that he's going to answer us. We might go in lamenting, but we should leave with confidence, knowing that he can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. See, I love my wife. Recently, we bought her a 2015 Chevy Impala. She loves everything, leather seats. She loves that she can start the car far away. The tires, all the little stuff. I'm like, can we find something? But she loves all that particular stuff. But the one thing that I really love is OnStar. See, no matter where you're at, you can just push that button and say, I don't know where I'm at. And so you can dial in a call, and OnStar, no matter where you're at, They can give you directions. You can be in mid-route, and they can tell you exactly where you need to go. All you got to do is press the button and call and say, hey, so I'm this place. How do you get here? And they'll deliver, and they'll tell you exactly where to go. If something like that can give us direction based off of calling, how much more God when we call on him? But so much prayer has been one of the most neglected things that we got to remember to call on the Lord. See, Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, the Lord says to call on him in the time of trouble, and he will answer us, and we shall glorify him. Jesus says, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be answered. See, many of us may be believers, you may not, but you got to remember, when you want to come to the Lord, you got to call him. You got to ask the Lord that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he rose him from the dead, then you will be saved. We got to remember, when you are in your time of need, to call on the Lord, because he will not drop your call. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord God, for the opportunity to preach your word. I pray, Father, that no matter what situation that we're in, that we will not forget to call on you, Lord God. There's nothing that you cannot do. There's nothing too great nor too small that you don't care about, Lord. You know the hairs on our head, Lord God. You know everything that before the words come out of our lips, you already know it, Lord God. But Lord, I know that you desire fellowship, Lord God, because you had perfect fellowship as the triune God, Lord God, but yet you created us, Lord God, to reign on earth, Lord God, to be a perfect representation of you, Lord. I pray, Father, that we will call on you, Lord God, and other people will fall down and ask what they must do to be saved, Lord. I pray for either anybody here that might be wrestling with something that they'll remember to call on you and go to you, Lord God, because you can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Lord, I love and I praise your name, and we all magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen.